This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. You know, we're not going to do a full fight song roundup. That's inappropriate. We save that for football season. But I think it's only appropriate, Jeffrey. You want to stand or are you going to remain seated?
I'm going to remain seated.
I think we should remain seated. Here we go. Canada, my home and native land, true patriot love, in all thy sons command with glow. Anyway, I didn't realize it was going to be an instrumental and I was going to be called upon to sing. You know, they didn't boo. Very little booing. Did you watch the anthems?
So I'm a little woke on it.
What?
I'm a little woke on that.
In what way?
I think that they did boo and that ESPN cut
toned
the
down
mics.
The boo? You think so? You heard? I heard a little booing.
I think there was a lot of booing because also, if you looked at the singer, she was rattled.
She was terrible, by the way. Terrible. I thought she was terrible.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I don't think she was consistently terrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think she was rattled.
So you think they were booing? They just turned it down. Now, I did appreciate when the U.S. anthem, and of course we're talking about the Four Nations tournament, ended last night. When the U.S. anthem played, there was a lot of singing along, which I appreciated. How do you feel about singing along? Have you ever yourself felt like you would sing along? And how do you feel if you're at a sporting event and the person next to you is just like belting it out?
So with the anthem specifically,
with the anthem. Singing along with the anthem. How do you feel about singing along with the anthem?
I mean, I think we've all at some point kind of hummed along to the national anthem. I mean, I think it's a lot like when you're at church and you have the person that belts out the hymns next to you.
Oh, I'm that guy. Hymns do you guy. Not sing hymns? How are you on a hymn?
Not really.
You don't sing at all. You just stand there.
I'll kind of phone it in. You know what I mean?
You move your lips.
Watermelon cantaloupe. It was the strategy I was always told that's how to like lip sync.
What's that?
You literally just mouth watermelon cantaloupe, watermelon cantaloupe, watermelon cantaloupe.
Do you actually do that at church?
I would say more times than not, yes.
But you don't sing.
Not really.
I totally am that guy. Would that surprise you?
No.
I am.
But you love hymns.
I let's be honest.
I do not love hymns.
What I love about the Presbyterian Church, I mean, whatever, I love my congregation and whatever, but I like a sermon and I like the hymns.
Yep.
That's what I like. What I don't like, I was briefly Episcopalian because my wife was Episcopalian, and there's a lot of up-down there. There's a lot of a lot of liturgy, a lot of prayers you're reading, stuff like that, and a lot of up-down. And that's not I like a good sermon and I like the hymns. In fact, it's a little bit, my kids were always embarrassed of me because I'd be singing the hymns. And I sing so loudly that people often compliment me on my voice. But let's be honest, they're not actually, I know, they're not fooling me. They're not complimenting on me on my voice. They're just commenting, well, you sing loudly.
Right. It's just bringing attention to the fact that you're the one person that sings the hymn.
No, it's not one. It's not one. Okay. At my Presbyterian church anyway, I bet it's at least half are singing the hymns. At least half really singing the hymns. Anyway, people are singing the anthem. I don't generally sing the anthem, but in that circumstance, I can see why people sung the anthem. You know what I mean? Because last night it was
there was a lot of energy.
There was a lot of energy. USA singing the anthem, everything else, and of course, ended. If you are pulling for the Yanks, ended in crushing fashion as Connor McDavid scores an OT to lift Canada over the U.S. Today on the radio show, by the way, we got Jason Smith. Think Jason sings in church?
Probably.
You think he does?
He's also, isn't he a deacon still?
Doesn't mean you have to sing in church.
Yeah, you got to set the example. We'll you got to lead by example.
I'll ask him. So Jason's going to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He wrote about the Grizzlies. Rather dismal performance, let's be honest, last night against the Indianapolis Pacers, and then it'll be us to wrap it up and wrap up this sort of interesting week, which started with the President's Day. So we had the day off, and then we had schools closed for two, like whatever. It's just been an odd sort of week to get back at it. But there you go. Just to finish up with this talk last night, about the hockey game last night. My experience was this: what I found that I was rooting for mostly was hockey. And
I think you can safely say you won.
I think I won. And what I really didn't, the thing I didn't want was Canada go up 2-0 or 3-0, right?
Sure, a non-competitive game.
Well, not if it was non-competitive and the U.S. winning, I mean, I hate to say it. Why do I care about hockey? But I do. And I want Americans to like it because I like it. And so if Americans were up 3-0 and there's USA chance, Americans would have still watched on TV. If Canada was up 3-0, you would have found something else to watch, right? And so because we got a game that went into OT that was, honestly, it wasn't, like the hockey itself, it wasn't this up and down, wide open, thrilling. It was thrilling because of the stakes and the intensity, but and one of the, PK Subban, I think, said this maybe during the break. It was the players were so locked in that it was hard to get anything going. You know, like there weren't a million chances on both sides. It wasn't it wasn't free flowing hockey. Brady Tkachuk was hitting everybody. That was fun, and then the U.S. went up 2-1. Canada ties, it goes to OT, and Connor McDavid scores, and I was fine with it. It did not crush me. It didn't honestly even seem to, of course, the Americans weren't happy about it, but we got an Olympics next year, and the theme that came out of there was these are two evenly matched teams. Like, the U.S. has caught up to Canada in hockey. Now, again, maybe this is too much hockey talk. Cole Makar and Connor McDavid, when you watch them, like, there is no one in the world who skates like those two. Like, and the U.S. was without Quinn Hughes and with players who might have made a difference.
Matt.
But he wasn't well. In terms of just the best player on the planet, it is Connor McDavid. And then the other thing is that people expected that the U.S. would have had a huge advantage in goal in Hellebuck is a much better goaltender during the regular season anyway than Jordan Binnington. But Binnington was honestly had to make the tougher saves last night. And
I actually thought they should have given him the MVP.
I could have totally seen. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, it was it was fun for hockey. I'll be interested to see the ratings. Will we have some preliminary ratings today, Jeffrey?
Maybe, but usually what we've been seeing is, like, it usually takes over a day.
Justin Trudeau. Listen, partly I didn't mind him winning because Canada's been going through it a little bit lately, being called the 51st state over and over and over again. Justin Trudeau tweeted out afterwards, "You can't take our country, you can't take our game." And so there you go. The result did not crush me. There's an Olympics next year. You can get them next time. In terms of
it was an exhibition, Jeff.
In terms of just an exhibition, when it counts, when there's medals on the line.
See you in Italy.
We'll see you in Italy. Is that where it is?
I think so.
In terms of ratings, by the way, the All-Star Game NBA ratings were the second lowest ever, down 13% from last year. 4.7 million watched. That was obviously Sunday night. The SNL 14.8 million watched. Now the Super Bowl 128 million watched. So let's be clear here what we're talking about. But that's a good number for SNL. 14.8 million watched on SNL. The All-Star rating 4.7 million. There's only been three All-Star games in the NBA since they started doing this stuff that have been fewer than 6 million, and all three have been the last 3 years. The Saturday night NBA extravaganza, was the lowest ever for that with 3.4 million. Last year, it was 4.57 million, and it was going up against hockey, and hockey outdrew it. Hockey that night, Saturday night, 4.4 million, the NBA, 3.4 million. So there you go.
Anyway, I am obligated to remind everyone that All-Star Saturday Night was on cable.
TNT, yeah, right, yeah. Okay, there you go. Shout out to Canada. Congratulations to Canada. And congratulations to hockey, because that was a hell of a lot of fun. In the meantime, the Grizzlies, less fun, as they lose to the Pacers 127-113. And by the way, if you look at your NBA standings today, Jeffrey, you will no longer see the Grizzlies in second place. The Grizzlies have fallen behind Denver and are now in third place in the West. They are still two up on Houston. The Lakers won last night, beaten Portland. 40-year-old LeBron had 40 on the second night of a back-to-back. It is kind of like, I know, it's sometimes tempting to roll your eyes at LeBron. Second night of a back-to-back, 40-year-old ass LeBron gets 40. Luka can't do it because Luka didn't play. Luka's, he's still coming back from injury.
Playing his way into shape.
But LeBron does it. LeBron comes back. LeBron scores 40. And the Lakers are only 2.5 back. And then the Clippers 5 back. Pacers win 127-113. And by the way, started out beautifully. Settled in front of my TV. Good to see Pete back. Good to see Brevin back. You know, we've had the break. I'm ready to commence this sprint to the end. And sure enough, it's just a beautiful thing. They go up 12-2, Jeffrey. You're thinking, man, they are out to prove something. You know what they're doing? They're backing up Zach Kleiman's words. We will be underestimated at your peril. And then, yeesh, giving up a 50-point quarter for the first time in Grizz history. It got to be that literally, and Rob pointed this out after the game, that one of the Taylor Jenkins' messages to his team, I think this was early in the third quarter, don't quit. Well, what the hell? If that's one of the messages, you know what it suggests? Suggest quitting is a possibility.
Or that you're worried.
Yes, exactly. When the realm of things could happen next is quitting. I need to address this. Don't quit. It was an absolute S show. Defensively, a total disaster. Obviously, the Pacers are lethal offensive team, but still giving up 50 in a quarter, and that was essentially Grizzlies won on a 28-6 run, I think it was, in the third, and got it down to 4, and you're thinking, oh, okay. And then I think Siakam scored, and then Jaren fouled on the 3. It was his 4th foul. He leaves the game, whatever. They go on a little mini run, and that's that. Like, that's the end. That's the end. They had no answer for Miles Turner. Seven Pacers in double figures. It got so bad. Here's how bad it got. Marvin Bagley played.
Yeah.
The last minute and a half. So, what's interesting to me, Jeffrey, is, and I think the question that I want to address is, how concerned are you? Because I could argue this either way. On the one hand, I'll go this, I'm very concerned, okay? I'm very concerned direction. One thing we've known about this team all along, we've enjoyed the wins over cake teams. They don't play well against good teams. They just don't. They don't have a good record against the best teams in the league. And the second half of the schedule, as you have pointed out, a lot of good teams on that second half of the schedule. So they're kind of fraudulently in where they were anyway, right? They got two rookies starting who've never been through this before. Ja seems just off, man. Like, he just seems off. And we've been wondering what's going on with Ja and the vibes. And then yesterday, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, yesterday we got the news. Shout out to Jody Callahan from the Daily Memphian, who broke the news that it was, in fact, Ja's house that was broken into. Jeffrey, we were speculating, maybe irresponsibly yesterday, about whose house it was that was broken into. I believe you and I both settled on the fact that had to be Ja's house.
I mean, the fact that $1 million was stolen, like, limits
it wasn't
the field.
It was $1 million of stuff.
Okay, so it still limits the
field. Yes, it limits the field, and then you know that they're targeting the high-profile athletes,
right.
The Patrick Mahomes. As we said, who is the Patrick Mahomes of this outfit? It's Ja Morant. So anyway, so that's on top of it. So Ja's vibes are off, and it just doesn't feel like a team that is going to put together the kind of run that they're going to need to put together to hang on to, certainly to now catch Denver. But honestly, you look at Houston and the Lakers, they're only 2 and 2.5 up. You got Orlando tonight, and then you got Cleveland. You know what makes a 2.5 game lead over the Lakers disappear damn quickly? An 0-3 road trip. That's what makes it disappear. I was offering you 1-2 yesterday. You should have taken it, because there is something off with Ja. Without Ja, they're kind of, you know, we had already told ourselves, oh, you get the three best players together. You get the three best players together, and they're really good. Well, here we are. You literally had no injuries last night. No injuries last night. A clean injury sheet. And you have Ja with 12 points, 4 of 15 from the field. He has 6 assists, but 5 turnovers.
He had more turnovers than made shots.
More turnovers than made shots. And so I'm worried. Okay, that's the one side, right? That's the one side of it. Here's the other side. You know how many games in a row they've lost, Jeff? Jeffrey?
Two.
Two games in a row? We're going to, like, go crazy because it's two games in a row? First game back from the All-Star break can always be. You got to find your way into it. It is not representative of anything. It's the first name. You know what the Lakers did their first game back from the All-Star game?
They lost to the Hornets.
They lost to the Hornets. You know what they then did? At home. They lost to the Hornets at home.
Didn't score 100 points.
So you have a game to the Pacers that does not go well. Fine. That will happen. It's one freaking game. And literally, they have now lost two in a row. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Sky is falling because they've lost two in a row. The fact is, they are healthy. If you listen to Ja last night, I was listening to the Grind City media clip where they had Ja talking about getting his game together, and he knows it. He knows he has to get his game together. Is it possible that he's a little shaken by the fact that his house was burgled of a freaking $1 million? Sure, that's possible. But what I know, in fact, what I do know about this team is when Ja, Jaren, and Dez are healthy, they're good. And I'm not asking them to go 25-3 over these last 28. You're going to lose some games. I'm just asking them to go whatever, go 19-9. Right? Go 19-9 over these last. It'll be fine. They got some things to sort out, of course. They've got, but they're healthy We know when they're healthy, they're good. And I am not, for one, going to panic over one bad game and what honestly amounted to one bad quarter. Come on, man. Let's get a grip. Let's not lose our minds over a single game. By the way, while we're on this, when is the last time we took calls? Have we even taken calls in 2020? What year is this? 25?
This is 25. I don't believe so, but
here's you go.
You can check the tape.
445-0929, 445-0929. Are you category A or category B? Are you super worried or are you, no big deal? And Jeffrey, who knows? We don't know if we're going to get calls on this. What's your take?
I'm leaning more towards there's problems, but it's also the class.
But you're always the guy saying we treat basketball like football and we shouldn't.
No, but I mean, the problem is the same issues seem to plague them again and again and again, which is they do not take care of the basketball. And right now, it's like if Jaren's not on the floor, they're not a good defensive team.
Okay, 445-0929, 445-0929. I want to know how y'all are processing this. Plus, I want to wish you a happy new year. We haven't talked to anyone in 2025. It's not you, it's me. And so are you concerned or are you, they'll get it together, no big deal. I'm interested in the vibes after this one because I'll be honest, it was the kind of game that could shake your confidence a little bit, particularly, let's be honest, as Ja goes, so go the Grizz, and Ja, 12 points, 4 of 15, 5 turnovers to his 6 assists. Looks like people have missed us, Jeffrey. Who we got?
Jeff, let's go to our friend Wes in North Memphis. He starts us off.
Wes, how have you been?
I'm doing good, OZ. How you been doing this new year?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, yeah.
Hey, I'm just coming in with my, you know what I mean, annual weather report.
Yes, I know. You're the one, you told me to go outside, look up, sky not falling. How are you feeling about the sky right now?
I'm sitting at the gas station right now, and I can clearly tell you it's a clear blue sky.
Oh.
Look, there's no reason to panic. Okay. To be honest with you, this team isn't even in its final form yet. You know what I mean? We're still putting the pieces together. We're still trying to put this thing out on the fly. We saw some really good stuff from Vince. He was all over the place. He's a maniac because he's wearing black shoes and white socks. So he's crazy. John got to get his head straight. You know what I mean? We'll be fine. It's a game in the middle of February. We still good. Everybody stop panicking.
Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. There we go.
All right, man.
Jeffrey, how is it going to go? More people are going to say panic or more people are going to be with Wes? Sky's not falling.
I think more people are going to be with Wes.
Okay. All right. Let's 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Larry in Brighton. Larry, you're on.
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir. I'm panicking.
Well, I knew some of you would be.
We need to get 5 of them Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson on the bench, and we can win it all.
You need what? What do you want?
I need 5 Ja Morants and 5.
Well, if that's what you're asking for, I'm not optimistic. I'll be honest. Are you worried about Ja?
I am.
You're worried about Ja?
Yeah, right. I believe he don't have his head in the game right now.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. One panic, Jeffrey. One. Hey, it's fine. One Wes. Sky's not falling. And one flat out panic. 445-0929. 445-0929. Jeffrey is fielding calls. He's going to tell us who is next here in a moment.
Jeff, let's go to Frank at the Skybox.
Frank, how have you been? Whoops. Frank. Oh, no. Skybox. Guy, turns out.
That's on me.
Oh, that's on you. That was your mistake? Like, it's been a long time.
Frank
Jeffrey.
Is on.
Okay, Frank.
Is that you or me?
Now you're good. We were
hey,
we were blaming Jeffrey for this, but it's been a long time since we've taken calls. He could be rusty. Go ahead.
Well, you know, panic mode for me. I'm looking at our record against the good teams.
I know.
We don't beat good teams. And so, you know, you don't do anything at the trade deadline. Last year you got Marcus Smart to help you out in the playoffs. Well, that didn't work out.
Nope.
So, yeah, I'm kind of panicking. I mean, we don't beat good teams.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Bye, man.
Panic has taken a 2-1. Panic has taken a 2-1 lead over no worries. 445-0929. Where are we, Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's go to Kevin in Midtown. Kevin, you're on.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's up, man?
We're good.
Chill out. Tell everybody to chill out, man. I mean, the guys haven't played together as a complete unit in 2 years. Give them some time to get their feet under them, get their legs back, and gel together again, and we're going to be fine. We'll be in the playoffs kicking some butt.
All right. Thank you very much. Good perspective. We got 2-2, Jeffrey. Panic and chill are knotted at 2. 445-0929 is the phone number. Thoughts on the Grizz?
Jeff, let's go to Michael and Hernando. Michael, you're on.
Michael.
I want to play.
Shout out to George Lapidus. Miss him all the time. Wish he were still with us, running his radio show. So, anyway, what you got?
No worries. Guys, these guys don't even take it serious until we get it to the last third of the season. So, when they get to the last third of the season, if they're still playing like this, then that's time to be worried. But right now, no worries at all.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Jeffrey, I need to do a little math, though. 20. What is the third of 82, Jeffrey?
One third of 82 would be, let's see, 3 goes into 2, and then.
We were already at 84. 28 games is almost 3 times 28 is 84, right? Isn't that true? I think that's true. Is that true? 20, 60. Yes. Yes. So 84. We are in the third. You got 2 more games, and then we're into the final third of the season. That's the problem. But Chill has taken a 3-2 lead. Who do we got, Jeffrey? Whoops, Jeffrey's fielding calls. I didn't warn him that we were going to be doing this morning, and so here we go.
Jeff, let's go to Diego in East Memphis.
Hey, Diego.
Hey, guys. Love the show, by the way.
Thanks.
And, yes, I would say I'm panicking a little bit ever since the Thunder game, I think. It just threw my whole momentum off with the whole season. So I would say, yes, I'm panicking.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Diego's panicking. We'll take these two, Jeffrey. There's one on and there's one calling, and we'll see where it's 3-3 now. This is a little bit like U.S.-Canada, honestly. Panic and chill. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Joe. He's driving through Germantown.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good guy. How y'all guys doing?
We're okay. How are you?
Good, always good to hear you in the morning. Hey, look, I'm not panicking, man. Come on, this is Grizzlies. You got Jaren, Bane, and Ja. What? I mean, come on, we're good.
All right,
and we got okay.
No worries.
Appreciate
Thank
that.
You very much. We appreciate it. Okay. And we're gonna wrap it up here, Jeffrey. We'll take one more on this.
Jeff, let's go to Mike in Kyrville. Mike, you're on.
Mike, you've got the fate of this enterprise in your hands right now. Chill is up. I think 4-3. Are you panicking or are you chill?
Panicking. The Grizzlies are too soft.
Soft.
They're too soft. The teams hit them and the game's over with. They're too soft.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. So there you go. All right. So pretty well evenly split, Jeffrey. Okay. Let's forget that. Exactly evenly split. I here's the truth, of course. I think it's reasonable to feel some degree of confidence that they'll get it together because they're talented. Because they are still, in fact, assembling themselves on the fly. Vince is being reintegrated. Gigi's being reintegrated. The three stalwarts haven't really played together much. Ja's clearly in some kind of a funk. So it's clear to both be concerned and to feel some degree of confidence that they'll figure it out, isn't it? Like you don't actually have to pick one or the other.
No, I think that's why it's a fair question. I think that's also why we saw basically a 50-50 split. It's kind of like you can see what you want to see.
So to the extent that you are concerned about them, what are you concerned about?
Ja.
Ja. Ja. Isn't that interesting? Like, what's interesting is that when all the bad stuff happened, we wondered if, you know, are we going to ever see that again, right? And let's be clear, we haven't. Like, in terms of that stuff, right?
No, the reality is, of all the concerns we have, off the court's not one of them.
It's really not that. Now, I do think that these things leak into one another. And
sure.
I don't know. Have you ever been burgled?
Yes.
When were you burgled? In your past? In
when
most
I lived
recent
with my
house?
Brother. And then
what's been stolen?
I lived with my brother, and then my car's been broken into several
times. Yeah, but your house. Your home burglary. You had your home burgled. What was taken from your home?
They got my laptop. They mainly just destroyed the house.
How'd they get in?
But, like, they mainly got my laptop.
How'd they get in?
They hopped a fence and went through the back door.
They busted through the back door somehow.
Yeah.
And how did you feel?
Pretty spooked, because also, like, I got home, and when you get home and then you see, like, cushions thrown everywhere, you see the house just a wreck, and then my Carly at the time was just, like, in a corner, just clearly, like, distraught. So, like, that's kind of jarring.
Yeah, I think it's easy to say that Ja has, you know, all the money in the world, who cares, whatever else. But the truth of the matter is that if you have your home has been burgled, and mine has been twice now in Memphis, it shakes you. And if other stuff, like, who knows? We obviously don't know what's going on with Ja. There's the questions about the basketball fit, right? Like, whether he has fit into this offense. There's questions about, I mean, just how is he wrestling with the fact that he was once the next face of the NBA, and now he's not, now he's home on All-Star Weekend, right? Like, how does that grab him? Then his house is burgled, $1 million of stuff taken. And then he's got to either answer questions over it. I saw they put out an official said they would have no comment, which makes all the sense in the world. I don't think Josh should be forced to talk about this thing. That he's a victim. He's a victim. And so it's totally understandable that he's not at his best self. You know what? There are times as a columnist that I'm not at my best self. And you know what? No one really notices. Because I'm not Ja. You know what I mean, Jeffrey? Like, if you've got a bad day as a producer, I don't think people are, what's wrong with Jeffrey, really, necessarily? People don't care. People don't care if my vibes aren't right. And there have been times in my life when I have shown up and done this radio show and everything in my life was not perfect. I've gotten divorced since I was doing this radio show. I've had kid problems since I've been doing this radio show. And it all spills in. And life spills in. And so who the hell knows what's bothering Ja? But if you've got a Ja Morant that is giving you what he gave you last night, 12 points, 4 of 15 shooting, 6 assists, 5 turnovers, they're not going to do much.
No, they're not. When Ja's turning it over at that rate, they're not going to do much. I guess maybe I'll be bad guy. I find it hard to believe the burglary story is what mattered last night, because it's not like Ja's known.
No.
It's not like Ja. We found out about it yesterday. Found out about it's not it like yesterday. Ja has.
No, but if you're wondering what has been bothering Ja,
sure, that's 100%.
It could be one of the things. I agree. I don't think the burglary story is why he went.
I think his body is what's bothering him the most.
The injuries, the constant injuries.
Yes.
I think his inability to be awesome is bothering him.
Right, but
is that his body, or is that, here's the truth. Jock's not a shooter now, right? So what do? You just collapse. It's become an even more physical game. He can't get the shots he wants. In this offense, he doesn't have, you know, Steven Adams setting screens for him now, right? And so you go through a crisis of when you're not awesome, for whatever reasons those are that you're not awesome, it then builds on itself, because then you're going through a crisis of confidence or frustration that you're not being awesome. And that's partly why you're barking at the officials the way you are, where you're asking for calls the way you are, where, like, everything. I think it all, you know, we are obviously speculating wildly, but this is not. Ja Morant scored 40 points in the playoffs, for God's sakes. Like, that's the Ja Morant we know and love and want back.
Yeah, I guess the biggest reason, though, I believe it's body, is at the start of the season, I really believe he was playing some of the best basketball he's ever played. Like, I know his numbers weren't overwhelming.
So you think he's physically limited now?
He was so in control. And ever since he got the hip injury, which, let's be clear, he dislocated his hip. I'm not acting as if that's a nothing burger. But really, ever since then, we've kind of ridden this, like, up and down wave.
So do you think, again, maybe this is irresponsible speculation. I will hold out that possibility. Do you think he is physically limited and that explains what is happening? Or do you think his physical limitations have thrown him off in a way that that it's really his mentals, and that's why it's happening? Or do you think it is literally, like, later, like we heard, occasionally you'll hear, an NFL player, and you'll wonder why they were playing lousy, and then it'll be, well, we saw that with Cousins, right?
100%.
Cousins. And like, wow, what was the injury? Shoulder?
It was...
We learned later he had a shoulder.
It was arm or something. Like,
is that what
tackled.
You think is happening here? You think he is literally physically limited and can't be the Ja Morant, and that's the whole source of the frustration?
Yeah, and like, I don't think it's binary, but if we're doing the pie chart, I think it's more physical, which is leaking into the mentals, but I think the physical is where it starts.
All right, we're going to take a break. Jason Smith's going to join us. Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we got a whole lot of stuff otherwise to talk about as well. Good to hear from y'all, by the way. It's been a while. Take a break. Jeff Cockinger, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason DeJohn, every single day from 11 until 2. They got a lively show, and I'm an avid listener. We were debating earlier, though, Jeffrey, because we were talking about, not Jeffrey, Jason, we were talking about singing national anthems. And the question arose as to whether I sing in church and whether Jeffrey sings in church. He does not. I do. And then we know you are at least a former deacon, perhaps a current deacon. And so the question is, when you are in church and a hymn or a song cranks up, do you sing?
Still deaconing.
Still deaconing.
Barely. Uh-huh. Yeah, holding on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for as long as they'll have me.
Yeah.
And, yes, you know, when it's praise and worship time.
Yeah.
Which is singing time.
Yeah.
Yes, I quickly stand up and I lead in song. Jeffrey's right. As a deacon, you have to help set the tone. And so, yes, I find that it used to be, Jeff, okay, it's my duty. But now I want to. See, now I want to. I've reached a point where, yeah, when it's time, I got enough. I've been blessed enough in my life that I got plenty to give thanks for. And the singing, that's part of it. And so I'm all in now. Jeffrey's dead on. I'm deaconing. I'm 100% in when it's singing
time.
So
when you were a first the prep writer and then the Memphis Tiger beat writer at the CA, and I said to myself, that's a man who should be on the radio or TV. Some of it was because of your poise and grace and connections and whatever. But some of it is that because of that fabulous voice you have. Does it translate to a fabulous singing voice?
It does. You know, I was in the Snowden Junior High Choir.
I did not know that.
We went on many trips. We were an award-winning group, and I had the deepest voice in the eighth grade that my choir director, Mr. Hamilton, had ever heard
of monks and eighth grader. Really?
And so I sang in the White Station Choir. We did it all the way
really?
Through there because every choir needs a good baritone. And I could almost go all the way down the piano. We would have contests with guys coming to challenge me.
Really?
Whether they could get this really happened, man. So not I never, you know, I wouldn't say love for singing, but I'm a guy that if it's a choir, I'm going to get up, and of course if I'm in the shower, you know, you're going to hear it all
in the shower.
You're going to hear it all through the house. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, well, that's good. That makes my day.
I can tell.
All right. So I asked the listeners if they are more panicked or more chill about the state of the Grizzlies. Where are you?
I'd like to be as chill as some of your listeners that were looking up at the sky and said it's all clear. But, yeah, I'd like to be there with them. But that's hard to be honest with you. It really is, especially after, you know, I know, and I was hearing some of it, saw some of it last night, Indiana, what, fourth in the East. You tell yourself they're one of the better teams in the NBA, so this is, again, just characteristic of a Grizzlies team that doesn't win against the good teams. Indiana's 16th in net rating. I think maybe they got a bump up to 15th after their win over you yesterday. You're fourth. They're not on your level. This isn't one of the best, you know, top six in the West that you really struggled against. This is a team you were supposed to handle last night. And so to see that effort, and then really something you highlighted, I guess that Fisher pointed out, Taylor Jenkins saying, don't quit. Don't quit. That's what Billy Donovan tells my Chicago Bulls every year. What the hell are we talking about? Don't quit. What are we talking about? When you are a true contender, there should be, I would think, maybe one or two times in a season where maybe it's a scheduled loss or something and guys are out and you're telling role players don't quit. You just don't expect to hear that when you've got everybody out there healthy and your leader, right? I realize there's things to be distracted by. You guys pointed out. I mean, it's not only that the, you know, Jaws had since December to sort of deal with this burglary. But it did go public. I mean, up until that point, you know, his name wasn't out there. And so, while no, this we wouldn't think that for a pro, right, this necessarily
has to be. That's jarring. All of a sudden it's public is another pain in the ass.
It's another pain in the ass. He didn't make the All-Star game. There's a ton of stuff out there. And, again, I'm not going to go into a list of things that could be bothering him or because we've done a ton of this. So we've speculated what could be. Well, how do you get him out of it? You know, at some point, right now, not to somebody, it's on him. You know, at some point, you've got to put the bad basketball behind you. He seems to sort of, after it, seemed to be saying the right things.
He said that exact thing. I have to figure it out. I didn't see it, though,
Jeff, in the effort. Did you? I didn't see. There were flashes of it. There were flashes defensively where he got mad. He's trying to tap the ball away from him. He's running back. And I thought we'd get it for the rest of the game. We saw some of it during the run to get back in it. But then it was gone again. And again, okay, back to your question. You know, how concerned should we be? Should we just be sitting back? Ja Morant's playing the fewest minutes of his career, right? Fewer than his rookie year. And yet he's averaging the most turnovers in his career, almost four a game. So in less time, he's averaging more turnovers. There's that part. There's the energy. There was last night he gets hit in the – felt like he got hit in the head. He's holding on to the top of his head. There's no goal. He wanted us all to know and the refs to know. Well, we've been dealing with this, right? It's about now how you react to that. Are you getting back down to the other end? You going to let this stuff bother you over and over again? You going to get through it? Last night, it looked like it was bothering him again. Well, we need, you know, you'd hope the All-Star break was a chance for him, clearly in a place where he didn't have to be distracted. You're away from everything to sort of clear his mind and maybe get past some of this stuff. Say, at least I'm going to control what I can. You know, hey, I'm not getting the whistle I think I deserve this year. I got to get past that. At least last night, at least to start, the guy that needs to be leading you certainly didn't look. He seemed to be sort of mired in the same kind of funk and struggles, and at times weird energy that's bothered us all. Seems to have bothered him for a while now.
I think you're right. I think that's to the extent that
something's up.
Yeah. I mean, as I pointed out, Lakers lost their first game coming out of the break to Charlotte at home, right? Like, things can happen, whatever else.
Sure.
But the problem is that some of the losses, A, they look ugly, and they're familiar, too. The same things, right? It's turnovers. Yeah. It's getting eviscerated defensively in certain moments. It's toughness. It's mental. It feels like what we've seen is a little recurring. And then of course, there's the jaw issue is at the center of all of it. So they got Orlando tonight. And then Cleveland, you would happily take a split, I take it, at this point.
I would. I mean, Bankero played well last night. Orlando got a win at the Hawks. I think they're starting a 7-game homestand that I'm sure they intend on. This is where they're going to make their push, right? Because Orlando's a better team, obviously, than what they've shown. I think there's a good chance they're the fourth-best team in the East. Now that they've got Bankero healthy, we'll see. But the point is, I mean, you're going to face better. You were what, 16-4 against the East before last night, 16-5. You're going to face a lot better teams than this, even in Cleveland, even this next time around against Phoenix, New York, who you got embarrassed by. Like, it's about to turn up. And last night, yeah, you can look at where Indiana was in the standings, but that's not one of those teams. It's about to get much tougher. If you're not getting the effort against Indiana, you didn't get it when we expected it against the best, right, OKC. Because remember, that counts. And they've lost 3 of 4 here. It's not just 2 in a row. And the problem is the 3 have all been by double digits, 13, 14 points. Like, that effort's been gone in a lot of those games. So they got to find a way to get it back, man, because I think we're being dishonest with ourselves if we're trying to tell ourselves, no, well, nothing's wrong here. No, clearly something's off. They got to get it back home.
Did you see that Naquan Tomlin scored his first bucket points in the league last night for the Cavs?
Love it for him, because I thought, we said it last year during the run, Naquan Tomlin was doing NBA-type things for a big, with the outside shot, with the energy he brings. And sort of the whole thing with him is that if he could control – right, sort of maybe in the same way, a little bit of the same vein as DeAndre Williams, but if he could control everything. Now, obviously much more gifted athletically than DeAndre, but the thing with Naquan was always control it. Can it be that sort of controlled energy, because you've got so much energy? Can he stay out of foul trouble? Because the skill level was always there, so I'm happy for him, and hopefully he gets an extended chance after the 10-day.
It's crazy the way that team collapsed. It's insane. There was a lot of talent on
all the talent that was there. Crazy, really was. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Vibe check then on the Memphis Tigers. They obviously got FAU this weekend. Where are you on them?
I mean, I'm expecting bounce back game. I'm certainly not expecting the kind of letdown we saw last year. I know we're past that point. Hopefully, I know there's still a road that goes, you could go down if you wanted to, but I don't think that's what we have here. We seem to have a team that responds well. Much like in the same way with John, I realize it was only one game, but you've got to make sure he's okay, that he's right. Dane Danger, this last time out, was just a non-factor. That can't happen, because it's putting so much pressure, again, on your guards, who there's so much defensive attention on already. You have to have him as an inside threat offensively. I know Musa played well, but Wichita State figured you out in that second half. And whether it was going big or whatever else, you were getting killed on the boards. Dane has to be involved. He's one of that top six that just you cannot, even against it, certainly not against the UAB here in a week or two, whenever that game is, maybe not against an FAU, just continue to have bad games, inconsistent efforts from Dane Danger. That seemed to be something where Penny didn't want to put him back in. I can't find that anything's wrong with him from a health standpoint, so they've got to get that worked out. That's as big as anything else, because it was that balance, Jeff, that was sort of bringing that offense together, that had sort of balanced things out. You were shooting over 50% a lot of games. Dane was a huge factor. He scored 4 early against Wichita State. He wasn't a factor the rest of the game. So turnovers were a huge part of it. Dane's got his part in this, but it's got to be better from him. That's the way I'll feel good about Memphis finishing this off, the way it's supposed to, winning the rest of them, to be frank with you, and, hopefully maybe getting a 6th seed, but, maybe stuck with a 7.
I did hear you talking about yesterday the craziness of the net, and Eli Savoy had pointed out that Boise's record compared to Memphis's record in quad
it's
one
unbelievable.
Was nuts. And then I saw John Varlas on Twitter pointed out that, I mean, Memphis 48 in the net, they're 6-2 in quad one. Cincinnati 47 in the net, 0-9 quad one. It's crazy.
Boise State has a quad 4 loss.
Right.
Everybody's holding these 2 quad 3 losses against Memphis. Boise State's got a quad 3 and a quad 4, and they lost to the same San Francisco team that you now beat on the road. They lost to them on the road by double digits.
So this is it's all margin of victory stuff, right?
It's all margin of victory analytics stuff.
That's what it is.
I started yesterday after we talked about it to try to comb through Boise State's and find all the double digit wins over bad teams, because clearly that's what the net favors more so then quality wins against good teams. It's crazy that they're ahead. And so, again, either that has to be adjusted or the NCAA selection committee has to lower how much it, I know they look at KenPom too, but KenPom's got Boise State 1 spot behind Memphis. Well, at least it's behind. But if you compare the two bodies of work, I thought Eli made, if you want to point out how flawed the net is, comparing those two teams, John's comparison is good too with Cincy, but Boise State's got a quad 4. And you clearly penalize for bad The fact that they're ahead of you in the net makes no sense. And our any reliance on it at this point
What's
doesn't seem to
make
sense.
What's funny, though, is that like in college football, when we saw the seedings, we all recognized that's kind of crazy, right?
And they got to fix it.
And there is no recognition outside of Memphis that this is crazy. Like what you are pointing out, the problem is that this only applies to a team like Memphis.
Well,
I don't think there's a widespread recognition that this is nuts. I think people think it's a pretty good system, broadly
that's
speaking.
That's where maybe Jeffrey can help me, because Cobb, Mr. National Guy for CBS Sports yesterday, was talking about this with us as we were talking about this Boise State-Memphis comparison, and said last year it killed one a particular conference. Now, Jeffrey, again, he's producing. But his point was nationally it was an issue for some other teams. I didn't write – I was scrambling yesterday, so I didn't write it all down. But his point was, no, this has affected some others, Jeff, in terms of at least one conference not getting bids. Cobb can tell us. It's not – I know it feels like
I believe
it's
it was the Big East last year.
I mean, it was the Big East last year, only getting the three, and how the net has screwed them. But it's more than just Memphis. But right now, we should be hollering about it.
Yeah, no. We should be. I just wonder if – the powers see it as a real problem. Like, literally.
The powers, yeah. But my only thing about that is the powers sold us, Jeff, every year, Selection Sunday, we give props, we give all the strength to the teams that go out and play people. That's what Memphis did. It's maximized its schedule the way it should. And so you go against that if you're going to rely on a net that only rewards for, you know, its major emphasis is on beating bad teams by double digits. That's what this has told us.
I agree. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Smith, 11-2. I guess I was reading something and they were talking about how subjective the football one is. And they were saying, we don't have those problems in basketball because we all know exactly how it's done, right? And so they were holding up basketball as if it were the right way to do it as compared to the way college football does it. And yet, here we are in basketball. We are seeing it also has massive flaws. It is kind of crazy to me that Memphis, 6-2 in quad one, ranks in the net behind Cincinnati, which is 0-9 in quad one. That seems absolutely nuts. All right. We'll talk to Chris Harrington. He he covered the game last night, the Grizzlies and the Pacers. We'll see how Chris, he's a level-headed guy, thoughtful. Not prone to panic. And so we'll see how Chris feels about all this when we return. Before then, I will tell you, if you have something you want framed, you know, I'm going to weddings soon, Jeffrey. Got some weddings coming up. And I was thinking about those folks and their wedding pictures and everything else. If they want those framed, the Frame Corner would be the place to go. 5035 Park Avenue. I can say that unreservedly. You can walk in there and buy a frame, but what they're really good at is custom framing. So if it's sports memorabilia, or if it's those wedding pictures, or if it's anything else that you want to have, that you treasure, that you want to display and keep forever, and maybe hand down to your kids, that's what custom framing can do. The Frame Corner experts in custom framing, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Harrington joins us on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.